Welcome to today's service at Parkland Baptist Church. Today is 3/29/20. Today we're going to speak about what we expect in life. What we expect in life. You know, sometimes we expect things in life that doesn't turn out the way we expected them. I remember Chase, when he was about 2 or 3 years old, we took him to see Thomas the Train ride in Mount Dora. And this is just a regular train, and they dressed it up like Thomas, and and all these little kids from everywhere from 2 to 5 years old were on this train, hundreds of little kids, and they were so excited about Thomas, and we rode Thomas down the road for a couple of hours, and rode it back, and it got a little late, got about 1:30 when we finally got off the train, and Chase was starving. All these kids started pouting and crying and whining. They were hungry, and he wanted something to eat, and the first thing we saw was a Burger King, and Chase was tired. He was irritated. He was 2 years old and going through terrible twos, and he started crying, and I'm hungry, and we pulled in the Burger King. He started screaming, I hate Burger King. I hate Burger King. I hate Burger King. And Mom and Dad were with us, and they asked us, hey, has he ever eaten at Burger King before? I said, not that I know of. I don't think we ever ate Burger King before and with him. And so he's doing an all-out temper tantrum. He hates Burger King. Scream and blame her, I hate Burger King. So we brought him in there, and we got him some chicken nuggets, and he was screaming. All of a sudden, I said, try one of these, buddy. And he put one in his mouth, and he's like, good. And ate the whole pack of chicken nuggets. It's not what he expected. He thought Burger King would be terrible. It's not what he expected. But it's kind of funny. Still today, 16 years old, Chase does not want to go to Burger King. And I don't mind a good Whopper every once in a while. And still to this day, he will not eat Burger King. You tell him you're going to Burger King, he said, we'll go somewhere else. He will not eat Burger King. It's so funny. But it wasn't what he expected. He expected, you know, it would be terrible. He actually enjoyed the chicken nuggets. He was hungry and tired. Today we're going to talk about what we're not expecting in life. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel 16. So if you're going to grab a pen, a paper, something, take a few notes, and open your Bibles, 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Now Samuel was God's prophet. God used Samuel in a great, mighty way. He was God's preacher. He was God's man. And God told him to go anoint a new king over Israel. You know, back then Saul was king, and God picked another king. He was going to be no anointed, because of course you know that's David. And it sounded great. It sounded terrific. Saul wasn't doing God's will, and God was going to give a new, better king. But Samuel was upset about it. Samuel was distressed about it. Samuel was upset about it. Samuel was mourning for Saul. God picked Saul, and Samuel was upset that Saul wasn't going to be king anymore. Samuel did not want Saul to be replaced. In 1 Samuel 15:10, it says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Verse 11, I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. He mourned. He was upset that God said, hey, I regret that Saul's king, he's not going to be king anymore. Samuel was brokenhearted when God told him, and he cried out to God and wept over God's decision. Later, we know that Samuel had retired his own house in Ramah with a resolution not to appear in public business anymore, but to dedicate himself to instructing and training up all the prophets, the sons of the prophets. Some scholars estimate from when God said that Saul would not be king till when God finally told Samuel to go, to go anoint David, it would be anywhere between 2 to 10 years since that happened. Anywhere between 2 to 10 years. And so Samuel's been mourning a while that Saul is not going to be king anymore. God said, once again, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Samuel struggled with God's decision not to allow Saul to be king. The people, remember back then, the people wanted a king. All the other countries had nations had kings. And all the great nations had kings. They saw that, and the people of Israel said, we want a king. And God said, you don't need a king. You have me. You don't need a king. And they begged for a king. They wanted a king. And God said, okay, finally gave them the wish. Okay, I'll give you a king. And we gave him Saul. And Saul was a good king at first. And 1 Samuel 9:2, it says, Achish had a son named Saul, as handsome as a young man as could be, found anywhere in Israel. And he was a head taller than anyone else. Saul was a tall, handsome man. He looked like a king from the outside. He fit the role. Of course, we know God doesn't look on the outside, does he? He looks on the inside. And Saul was a great king at first. And later we see that Samuel does anoint Saul as king. And what special that day that may have been. The first king of Israel. And Samuel anoints Saul as king. And that was in 1 Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and saying, "Has not the Lord anointing you ruler over his inheritance?" Samuel saw the potential in Saul and expected Saul to do great things as the first king of Israel. The people of Israel expected Saul to be a great king and be all they hoped for. But sometimes life's not what we expected. This was not what Samuel expected for Saul or his country. And Saul is going to be replaced. Saul disobeyed God several times, outright disobedience. And God had enough. And Saul's going to be replaced. It's not what Samuel expected. When he anointed Saul as king, that was done with. We got the greatest king ever. We're done. It's going to work out. I'm done. But life is rarely what we expect. For most of us, life is not what we expected to be. Some of us didn't expect to be in the career we were in. We thought we'd be further along in our career or in a totally different career. I remember, for me, example, I never expected to be a teacher. I hated high school. I went to Winter Haven High School, and I remember graduating and saying to myself, I would never go to school again. I hated school. I never stepped back in the school system again. Well, life's not what I expected. I went on after Winter Haven High School and got my 4-year degree in business and got a master's in pastoral counseling. And now I've been teaching school for 16 years. Crazy. I remember when I left Winter Haven and graduated, I never walked back to school again. I never forget when I was getting ready to graduate. We had practice at our high school to practice, you know, practice where you graduate and walk together side by side and practice what to do and rehearsal and all that good stuff. And I remember being at the end of the lines with the W's and the X's and Y's and all this and those letters. And I kept saying to myself, last name is Durden, D. I should be up with the D's. Why am I way back here? It didn't make any sense. I couldn't figure it out. Finally, I asked somebody. I said, my name's Dirt. I need to be at the front up there. Why am I way back here? And they said, sir, we go by your GPA average. Ooh, okay. My GPA wasn't the best in high school. Well, I was way in the back of the line there. But I decided I was never going back to school, and here I am teaching school for 16 years now. Life's not what I expected it to be. But God had his hand on my life the whole time. God was in control, and God's blessed me in so many ways. Life's not what we expected it to be, yet God is taking care of us. Some of us still didn't expect to be still living paycheck to paycheck by now. Some of us still didn't expect to be married to the person we were married to. Some of us didn't expect to be married a second time. Some of us didn't expect to be single still. Some of us didn't expect to outlive our spouses. We have. Some of us expected our kids to be around a lot more than they are. Some of us expected to be able to spend a lot more time with our grandkids, whether in another state or far away. Some of us expected us to enjoy retirement much more. Some of us expected to be retired by now, but we're still working. Life never seems to be what we expect. So number one there, if you're taking notes, number one, life seems to never be what we expect. You know, life never seems to be what we expect in life, is it? It's always changed, always different. Or what we expect to happen usually doesn't happen. Something else happens. This is not what Samuel expected as he anointed Saul as king. That God would send a new king. But God was still in control and knows what's best for us. This last month, the month has been no exception. Who would have ever imagined their lives would be temporarily on hold because of some virus? Our economy would be in such shambles because of some virus. It's crazy. I never expected this. I expected this week of spring break to be with my kids out there on the boat fishing every day and catching fish and relaxing and having a great time. Not to be in isolation and lockdown. It's not what I expected. It's not what any of us probably expected. So, what do we do when life is not what we expect it to be? What do we do? What do we do? Number two, if you're taking notes, number two, be obedient to God's calling. Be obedient to God's calling. What do? You be obedient. Obedient. God told Samuel to fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Verse 2. But Samuel said, "How can I go? if Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Verse 4. And this main verse I want you to focus on. Samuel did what the Lord said. Did you hear that? Samuel did what the Lord said. He was obedient. That's not what Samuel expected. You know, he already picked the king once. It was done with. But yet, even though it wasn't what he expected, it said, verse 4, he did what the Lord said. Whatever we expect or not expect in our lives, we have to do what the Lord says. Samuel did what the Lord said. What a powerful verse there. He did what God told him to do. Life is always full of unexpectancies. But we do what God has called us to do. We didn't expect this virus to happen. But it doesn't mean we don't do what God tells us to do. We're still obedient to God. We still do what God has told us to do, no matter what. No matter what the unexpectancies in life happen, we still are required to be obedient to Him. We still do what God tells us to do. Well, what does God tell us to do during this time? Well, we still spend time in prayer every day with God. That doesn't change. The virus doesn't change our prayer life. In fact, we should have more time now to pray and spend time with God in prayer. We're still listening to God's Word on Sundays through podcasts. Yes, we can't be in the building together right now. We can't meet together, and it's frustrating. I will miss you guys. I miss my hugs. I miss encouraging one another. We miss a time of fellowship. But we still can hear God's Word every Sunday through this podcast and be encouraged. We're still praying for others. It doesn't change your prayer life just because of our unexpected virus. We still pray every day. In fact, we've got more time to pray and encourage others. We're still helping others and not being consumed with selfishness. Not taking more of the grocery store than we really need. Helping others. We're still being a light to a lost and scared world. Man, people need to see hope right now more than ever before. They're scared. They know what's going on. They don't understand it. We have the answer. We have the Lord. God's in control. God loves you. It's okay. Put your faith and trust in Him. So we do what God has told us to do. What we do when we don't expect life to be unexpected, we are obedient to God's calling. We do what God told us to do. Verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said. And may we keep doing what God told us to do. No matter how long we're in lockdown or isolation or how long this takes place, we do what God tells us to do and be faithful at it. Number 3, if you're taking notes, see this unexpectedness as unexpected opportunities. Look at the unexpectedness as unexpected opportunities. Samuel now has the opportunity to anoint the greatest human king that Israel ever seen. He didn't know at the time it would be, but it was. Verse 10, then Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent him for him, and he had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. When the Lord said, arise and anoint him, this is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel went to Ramah. Wow! Samuel got to anoint the greatest king Israel would ever see. David conquered more armies and lands than all the kings combined. They gathered more wealth for Israel than all the kings combined. David was a man of God's own heart. God took Samuel's unexpectedness and turned it into great opportunity. And God does that for us, doesn't he? Take a moment and think about the unexpectedness in your life. And remember how God has used that for great opportunity. God takes the unexpectedness and uses it for great opportunity for him. Maybe you lost your job unexpectedly. You got laid off or something happened. Then all of a sudden God blessed you with a better job you could ever imagine. That's the way God works. He takes the unexpectedness and turns it into great opportunity. Once again, no one expected this virus to be so crazy and widespread and for us to take such drastic measures. But God can use this as opportunities. God may be giving us the opportunity to spend more time with our loved ones during this time of lockdown. We can eat dinner as a family and have real conversations together, spend time together. We can have true compassion for hurting people. We could be more giving and meeting people's needs. And of course, if you have any extra toilet paper, let me know after the podcast. I could use some. No, just kidding. But we can meet other people's needs. You know, our widows can't get out. We can go help them out with supplies or anything they need. We can share the love of God in a world that's scared to death and only wants the truth. What an opportunity to share Christ right now. Opportunity to bring up conversations about Jesus. Hey, God's in control. He loves you. He's got this. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's got us in his hands. Can I pray with you? I know you're nervous. I know you're stressed out about it. Can I just say a little prayer for you? Wow, what opportunity we have to share Christ right now. We can pray that this sparks true revival in us. And after these few weeks we stay home and we're praying and we're spending time with God, that we grow spiritually. That revival occurs in our hearts. That this will result in a revival in our church. That this will be revival in our nation, in our community, in our world, that this will spark revival and realize that God is in control of everything. And we need him more than ever before. May this cause revival to take place. May it be an opportunity of revival in our lost and dying world. God will use this unexpected virus for his honor. But question, will you be the vessel that God will use? So look at this unexpectedness as an opportunity to serve God, an opportunity to witness, an opportunity to grow closer to him. What opportunity we have for his honor and his glory. What opportunity. Number four, if you're taking notes, the next point, trust God's way. Trust God's way. There had to come a point when Samuel quit mourning for the past and trusted God for the future. He was mourning. He was brokenhearted. He picked Saul. God used Samuel to pick Saul as next king. And he expected Saul to be a great king and a mighty king. He was for a while, but Saul turned his eyes away from God. Saul was disobedient, direct disobedient several times to God in his face. And God said, enough! Saul had every opportunity to be great. Saul had all the characteristics to be a great leader, to be the greatest leader ever. But he didn't. And Samuel was brokenhearted about it. Samuel mourned for it. It broke him. He was upset about it. But we can't change the past. Samuel couldn't go back and change Saul's heart. Samuel couldn't go back and change Saul's terrible decisions to not be obedient to God. And Samuel was mourning. You know, we can mourn and wish for the good old days before this happened. And wish the good old days, but the past is over. We can't change it. God wants us to quit mourning for the past and look forward to what God is doing. Samuel was stuck in his mourning for a long time. He isolated himself and just worked with it and got away and realized that God has a great future. We can't sit there and mourn for the past. But look for the future. God's in control. God has a great plan. God's always at work around us. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." God's beginning a good work in you. He's going to perfect it. He's working in us. He's constantly working in us and around us. God is in control. God's in control of this virus. God's in control of everything that's going on right now. So we pray that God's will be done. God was in control with Samuel. God was going to appoint the next king. Samuel didn't know how great David would be, but Samuel had to get out of his mourning at the past and look forward to the future. So today, let's trust God for the future. Let's trust the God that God could use this, what's going on in the world for a great revival, that we could bring our hearts closer to him and spend more time with him. And God can use it for his honor and his glory. Trust God for the future. I know a lot of people are feeling anxiety and worry right now and stress. But God's got this, guys. God's in control. If he's in control of our souls, our spirit, if you gave your heart to Jesus Christ and you became a follower of Christ, if he's got your heart and you trust him with your salvation, can't you trust him with this? Turn off the news and focus on him. God's got this. If I give him my heart, my soul, my future, this is nothing to God. Can I trust him right now in times like this? Trust God's way. And Samuel did that, didn't he? He was obedient to God, and he trusted God for the next king. And King David, as we know, become the greatest king ever. Trust God for the future. He's a good God. He has us in his hands. So, not what we expect in life. Not what we expected. Many times in life, we're filled with things in life that are not what we expected. But that's just part of life. We know that God's in control over it, no matter what. So what do we do when life's not what we expected? We're obedient to his calling. We're obedient. In verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord told him to do. Next, we see this unexpectedness as great opportunities. Now, it was not what we expected to do, but God can use this as great opportunities to serve him and love him. And trust God the way. Trust God's way. He's got this. So I hope you were encouraged today with the word. You know, Samuel was a great prophet, and he learned a valuable lesson to trust God and be obedient. And may we do the same thing in the next few weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for Samuel, the prophet that was faithful to you. Yes, he was brokenhearted, and he mourned, and he wished the good old days with Saul to be king again, God, but you had greater things for Israel. And the same thing for us, Father. We look back at the good old days and frustrated what's going on, Father, but God, you got this. You got the future in your hands, Father. And you're a good God. And we trust you. And we're going to be obedient to you every day. We're going to serve you and pray and spend time with you and get to know you more and more. And God, and do the right things, Father. And then we're going to look for opportunities to tell others about you. Opportunities to share your love. To share our faith with others, Father. And God, I pray that you'll use this for great revival in our church, in our hearts, in our community, in our nation, in our world. That you'll be honored and praised for everything that takes place. And God, we trust your way. It's not our ways. Your way is the best way. And we trust you. Lord, we love you. Be with us this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.